Welcome back to the Jason Rancho. Thank you so much for tuning in. Really do appreciate it. As you just heard there, we should get an answer relatively soon from the governor and the Department of Health as to whether or not the three counties that most of you live in when listening to the show, King, Pierce, Snohomish, can move forward into 1.5 for King County or phase two for the other two. So they are now going to start looking over all of the applications that have been submitted, and then they're going to make their decisions. My assumption is the answer is going to be yes. The question is, when do we get that yes answer? And that's a little bit unclear, but they did say that it's supposed to happen relatively quickly upon reviewing the actual applications. And my understanding is behind the scenes, they're still working with the governor's office and the Department of Health, and they're communicating, so it's not like they're just getting this one big proposal to move forward and they're reading all of it for the first time. There have been conversations ongoing for the last several weeks, or at least one would hope. So again, hopefully the big news that will happen tomorrow, maybe on Monday, is that we'll be able to move into phase two for Snohomish and Pierce counties and 1.5 for King County. So when we started the show, we were talking about the experiences that cops were having on the front lines in another night of protest that this time did not actually turn violent. And that's a good thing. Chief Carmen Best was out there the whole time. Como was embedded with her for at least a good portion of it. And her goal last night was to try to keep the peace between a group of officers that don't want to have to use any show of force to break up a riot because they don't want to have to deal with a riot. They don't want you to have to deal with a riot. But you have some folks on one side that seem hell-bent on creating violence, some of them because they think it's a way to get a point across, some of them because they think that it's fun, it's cool. There's some bad faith folks out there. There are some opportunistic individuals who are choosing to egg on the cops just for the heck of it. And then, of course, there are the legitimate bad players, the Antifa-style anarchists, and individuals in similar groups. We're seeing more and more evidence to suggest that they are, in fact, responsible for this. Not white nationalists, although there are a few cases in which white supremacists were responsible for some of the issues. There, 100%, there's evidence to back that up. But the majority of what we're seeing in American cities when it comes to the violence, when it comes to the rioting and looting, it's being instigated by a group of Antifa-style folks or flat-out Antifa members. Now, I think it's important to understand the distinction between the bad actors and the peaceful protesters. I choose not to protest ever on any issue because it just doesn't think, I don't think that means we're going to lead to anything meaningful. I'd rather have the conversations. I'd rather push forward specific ideas and get them in front of people. I don't need to participate in a protest, even if I believe in the actual message of the protest. And I've certainly been involved or could have been involved in protests on messages that I agree with. I just choose not to partake in that way. However, I am grateful for the right to be able to peacefully protest. I don't want to attack people for the sheer position that they believe going to a protest is the right thing to do. Good for them. But I will call out the Antifa violence because they're radicals who seem to be okay with the violence in order to forward a political agenda, a fringe political agenda. They claim that they're fighting fascism. They can make that claim all they want. There is a level of delusion at play if you think you're literally fighting Nazis when you decide to destroy a black-owned business. When you decide to go into the International District and damage restaurants, minority-owned restaurants, that are already struggling in a coronavirus world. There is a level of delusion if they believe that they're fighting Nazis. And we have to be able to call it out. And the more evidence we get makes it pretty clear who's behind it. Here's Dermot Chase, the NYC, the New York PD. He's the commissioner there. And he says there are bricks being placed around the city.
Pre-staged bricks are being placed and then transported to quote-unquote peaceful protests, which are peaceful protests, but then used by that criminal group within to Sophia. We've had construction site burglarized in recent days in Manhattan. And it's interesting, you know, a construction site burglary is not that uncommon. But during a riot, it's interesting what was taken. Bricks.
They took bricks. And there's evidence to suggest that there are folks who are hiding weapons out in the field in New York City that are then being used to go against the law enforcement. We had in Portland just 2 days ago, the Portland PD arrested a driver who was bringing in supplies to the protesters out in the field. And we know that particularly in Portland, there is a large group of Antifa. We were told a few days ago at the infamous photo op with the president standing in front of the church, we were told that Lafayette Park was cleared out by some sort of federal agency using tear gas or capsaicin spray. Okay? That's what we were told. We had reporters say it. I saw a whole bunch of witness testimony online from people who said they were there. Well, a Secret Service spokesperson just confirmed to Fox News that they did an investigation. No agency personnel used tear gas or the spray during the efforts to secure the area near Lafayette Park. So three options here. Number one, someone was just mistaken about what happened. They did seem to be very specific about getting hit with tear gas, but maybe they just don't know that. Maybe they don't really know because they haven't actually been in a situation where they've personally experienced that and they thought that that's what happened. So that's number one. Number two, maybe they were lying to forward a very specific narrative due to some kind of political belief. That, of course, is nefarious, but I'm going to give people the benefit of the doubt. Number three, is it possible that someone from Antifa was actually responsible for putting that kind of stuff out there? Because we've seen some of the violence, some of the bullying that Antifa traditionally does. Are they responsible? We know that the Sacramento County Sheriff Scott Jones, who was on Fox News at night last night, saying these agitators are organized.
It's very challenging. I mean, they are very organized. They use intelligence. You know, it's a war of intelligence. They're trying to figure out what we're doing. We're trying to figure out what they're doing. They're resupplying rocks and bottles. They're moving their protesters from place to place. They're using encrypted communications. They're staging large numbers of folks in places and then just producing them all at once, going down a street. So, again, this is really these sort of tactics. And this organization is really unprecedented here in Sacramento, which is why I think it was very important to call in the National Guard, who now are assisting us here in Sacramento, the city and the county.
So do we think that this is just happenstance, it's coincidence, or do we use our knowledge of how Antifa operates and say, this actually kind of seems like what they always do? Now, I suppose it's possible that a whole bunch of white supremacists decided to pretend to be members of Antifa and infiltrate Black Lives Matters. I guess we could believe that, but there's no evidence to suggest that. The evidence they're saying suggests very clearly Antifa involvement. Now, when we talk about Antifa, folks like to say, oh, well, it's not even really a group. It's not a national group. There's no real organization. Well, there kind of is. There's organizing online. And it's regional. It is regional. There's not some master commander of the Antifa army. But there is clearly some level of leadership because they're organized. If you're getting together and you're saying, hey, Peyton, why don't you get the bricks and put them there? Hey, Ian, why don't you get the sticks that are really sharpened and we'll pretend that they're signs. You put them over there. Hey, Don, we'll get all together at 4 o'clock. Just make sure we're meeting at the corner of Pine and like, there's clearly organizing here for this kind of action to take place. And so we need to break it up. And the people who should be most alarmed at this are the folks who are participating in the protest. Because when it turns away from the peaceful side and it gets into the violence, in large part, and I think this is unfair, but in large part, you guys are getting blamed. And I think it's important to stand up and say, they don't represent us. And by the way, if we catch them, we're going to call them out. In fact, in Spokane, a 20-year-old kid who was participating in one of the protests realized that there were some agitators in the group and they started to loot at a Nike store. He decided to stand up to them. And now he's being called a hero. It's exactly what he is. We'll have a story when we come back.